All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're shifting focus a little bit in this final segment for a pretty important company update. News that broke this week out of Calibre Mining. On October 25th, the company is acquiring Fiore Gold. We have on the line with us Vice President of Corporate Development and Investor Relations, Ryan King. Calibre Mining is traded on the TSX under the symbol CXB. And on the OTCQX under the symbol CXBMF. Now, the acquisition being Calibre will acquire 100% interest in Fiore's operating Pan gold mine, as well as the adjacent advanced stage Gold Rock project and the past producing Ipala gold project, all in Nevada. This transaction will now create a diversified, America's focused mid-tier gold producer in Calibre Mining, with now targeted annual gold production of just short of 250,000 ounces. The exact number, about 245,000 ounces. Now, Ryan, this was one of the biggest news releases that came out this week from the resource sector. Just start off, please, giving us a little recap of this acquisition and what it means for Calibre now increasing their production.
Sure, Corey. Thanks very much, Corey and Chad. Appreciate the time to discuss the transaction because, you know, I think these types of deals are what a lot of our institutional audience, active managers, are looking for in the space. And, you know, Calibre set out years ago as a prospect generator. In 2018, we restructured the company on the back of the success that our same management team and board had with New Market Gold. New Market Gold was a publicly traded company. We acquired gold production. We optimized it. We merged that company with Kirkland Lake to create a diversified, not only geographically, but a larger base, almost a 500,000 ounce a year gold producer in Canada and Australia, which went on to do incredibly big returns for shareholders. So, with Calibre, the group said, you know, that was successful. We can create a lot of value that way. Let's focus on doing that again. And, you know, your audience knows that in 2019, after the restructure, we had said we wanted to acquire gold production. And so we were able to successfully strike a win-win deal with B2 Gold. They're our largest shareholder. They were the ones that basically modernized and brought modern mining to Nicaragua. And then these assets became small, less than 5% of their NAV. So they wanted to surface value by partnering with Calibre. And so over the last couple of years, we've been optimizing that production and growing that production base there. And always we had mentioned to the market and to yourselves and your audience that we wanted to grow into be a multi-asset, multi-jurisdictional, 500,000 ounce quality mid-tier gold producer. And with this week's announcement, that's a step in that direction to do that. And so and we're really focusing on acquiring that production that has growth potential or optimization potential built into it. And we see that through this transaction. So a very exciting time for Calibre and Fiore. And I really believe that this is going to be a situation where through the pro forma Calibre, we'll have the financial strength. We'll have a very similar operating and an operating culture that we can advance collectively and unlock a lot of value. So it's going to be an exciting time here as we transition to be a multi-jurisdictional gold producer with a lot of growth potential going forward.
Well, Ryan, walk us through some of the specifics on the new combined company. You know, as far as what will the production metrics be? You know, what will the gold resources be? What will the average cost be? Just, you know, what will the combined entity look like moving forward?
You bet. As we recall, we initially acquired the Nicaraguan assets, and one of those assets were heading towards closure. In 2020, Calibre produced 136,000 ounces. This year, Nicaragua alone, we were guiding 170,000 to 180,000 ounces. Now with the acquisition and, you know, anticipated to close in early January, pro forma company based on analyst consensus would be, you know, somewhere just below 250,000 ounces a year over the next 2 years on average. We're working through all the budgets and details to come out with official guidance for 2022, but that's based on analyst consensus numbers for the two jurisdictions. And based on analyst consensus, we'd be around $1,000 to $1,100 all-in sustaining costs. But what that does there is, obviously, as we mentioned, diversifies. We've got a growing production portfolio with one of the assets acquired and with our Eastern Borosi project coming online and their Gold Rock project coming online. We could see the company growing to 300 plus thousand ounces of annual gold production. In terms of the mineral endowment, collectively, the company is now well above 7 million ounces of measured, indicated, and inferred. And so it's a nice, solid base of which to grow from. And I think on almost every metric in talking to various analysts and institutional shareholders, this was an accretive deal and a win-win situation for both sides with the plus 40% premium. But also all of the significant growth catalysts within both Calibre and Fiore suite of assets.
Ryan, do you have any more information on what the estimated costs are going to be of production when the transaction is completed?
Well, still more work to do going through all of that. And we haven't provided 2022 budgets yet, but I would think probably very similar to what 2021's all-in sustaining cost guidance would be. Particular for the Nicaraguan assets next year, around $1,000 to $1,100 all-in sustaining costs. Based on analyst consensus over the next 2 years, because of a declining cost profile at both assets, analyst consensus is right around $1,000 all-in sustaining costs. But you know, we still have to work through all of the details of that budget. But an attractive profile nonetheless, with a declining cost profile and an increasing production profile for the combined assets.
Yeah, not too shabby of a margin there with $1,800 gold either. So one of the things, Ryan, that I think Calibre had as a knock against it was the jurisdiction risk in Nicaragua. Even though you guys have been blowing and going and exploring and ramping up your hub and spoke model and done a great job in Nicaragua with the B2 gold assets, there were still investors that were a little shy. And now you're bringing Nevada in, the number one Fraser Institute jurisdiction to be in on the planet, for gold. So do you think this will change how institutional funds and investors or even retail investors view the combined entity now?
I do. Actually, it's one of the reasons that we saw the value in this deal was A, scale and geographical diversification. And you're absolutely bang on, Chad. We definitely had folks that were reluctant to hear about what we were doing in Nicaragua because of the jurisdiction. But we have demonstrated over the last couple of years, and B2 Gold demonstrated over the last decade prior to us acquiring the assets, that that you can operate efficiently and safely and effectively in Nicaragua. And I believe that will continue to be the case. I mean, case in point, we've received permits for open pit mining. We have consistent, regular, and welcome transparent communication with communities and government. And as well, we've recently been awarded new mineral concessions and a permit for in-pit tailings going forward. So we've found working in Nicaragua very, very supportive to foreign entities working in the country, assuming they're, of course, following international codes of conduct and, of course, their mining legislation. But from an investor standpoint now, yeah, I mean, it really does open up an opportunity there by acquiring the Nevada assets and balancing out that geopolitical portfolio that we have. And what's interesting is as you look through the metrics of this deal and look at the resource and reserve base, 42% of the overall resources in the pro forma company will come out of North America, out of the United States. 58% will come from Nicaragua. And so as you diversify your asset base, obviously diversifying your production profile, and what's exciting from our perspective as well is we see a growing production profile in Nevada with their Gold Rock project, which could double annual gold production by bringing that adjacent development stage project online.
Let's talk about some of those growth avenues then and how the combined company now will add value to some of those assets within Fiore. Take us through the Gold Rock project and anywhere else that you guys see as near-term growth potential then.
For sure, yeah. And I think most of your audience is aware of our hub and spoke strategy, which has been very accretive and very effective. We've been growing. We first and foremost, we set a great platform at the end of 2020 by announcing a 200% increase in our reserves, the largest reserve over the last 10 years between Le Mans, Libertad, and Pavón, but also the highest grade reserve ever collectively amongst these assets. And we see additional growth potential, as we've talked about with your audience, is Eastern Borosi. You know, that's an inferred resource, almost 700,000 ounces at 4.9 grams per ton gold. We've been advancing that through infill drilling, through all of the technical work. We're getting very close now to submitting a package for permitting. And if you recall, remember Pavón, we were able to permit within 12 months for an open pit, high-grade open pit deposit. You don't need the tailings, of course. We don't need new infrastructure, so very low capital cost because we would be utilizing the Libertad processing facility, which has over 50% capacity. So there's one growth initiative that most of your audience already knows, of course, and we would anticipate that maybe the second half of 2023 or early 2024 that you can potentially start seeing some of that high-grade open-pit material from Eastern Borosi come down to the Libertad facility. Obviously increasing production profile. But in terms of the acquisition with Fiore, you know, one of the opportunities that we identified and they were pretty transparent on is that, you know, a smaller operation, 40 to 50,000 ounces a year, they were self-funding themselves. They have recently expanded their heap leach pads. So that was almost a $10 million investment, which was the right thing to do, obviously. They had installed a crushing unit to help with recoveries with the pan operation. So they have been investing back into the business, very similar to what Calibre's doing. And as I mentioned, the culture, the operating focus, and the discipline on capital allocation. And yet they've only been spending about $1 to $1.5 million a year on exploration. And that's all the asset could afford them to do without going back to the market or taking on some debt. And so combined, I think this is an opportunity where we can allocate more dollars to numerous targets, north and south, along a prolific trend within the Pan landscape. They've identified a number of targets. They've got a good team there, but have been on again, off again with the drills. And so this will be an opportunity where we can really dedicate some time and focus to expanding the mine life there at Pan. And I think, you know, hopefully we'll be between 2 and 3 drill rigs, maybe plus, on the Pan targets, as well as, you know, near the Pan open pits for expansion there. So I think that could be a real unlocking of value. And then we turn our focus to Gold Rock. Gold Rock is located less than 15 kilometers from Pan, and they've actually done a really good job at Gold Rock. They were able to federally permit Gold Rock. That's an arduous, long process in Nevada. So that's federally permitted for up to 25,000 tons a day. In 2020, they announced a PEA that demonstrated about 55 to 60,000 ounces of annual gold production over 6.5 years, with a capex, really modest capex. I think it was about $65 million of initial capex. And there's more work that needs to be done, obviously, taking it from a PEA through to pre-feas or feasibility study. And they've been advancing that, maybe not as quickly as they wanted, but they've been advancing that project, doing metallurgical test work, which they're undergoing now and starting to get some preliminary results back in. Geotechnical drilling, condemnation drilling, all of the things that work towards putting into a final feasibility study. But what this will also allow us to do is not rush into anything. It'll allow us to go slow, really understand that project, the scope and scale of the opportunity there. And that PEA that they announced only looked at 10,000 tons per day, right? So if we now take a step back and we put some drills on a number of the great targets that they've identified and see what could surface out of that. I mean, already over the last couple of months, they've announced drill results outside of resources. They announced a new discovery about 1.5 kilometers north of the Gold Rock resource. So there's, you know, clearly there's opportunity for new discoveries, resource expansion. I think that's another opportunity for us to put some rigs on there and understand what that whole landscape. I think it's like 15 plus kilometer strike extent to these resources. So that's really where we see an opportunity here. You know, pan a steady 40 to 50,000 ounce a year production profile, a lower mine life. So maybe look at extending that mine life because we can afford to do that through the balance sheet. And also look at a number of rigs on top of Cold Rock to see what the scope and scale may look like. So that's always exciting as a gold producer to be able to self-fund that, you know, that unlocking of value through the drill bit, but also be able to self-fund if we decided to do so, really push ahead with the development of Gold Rock and put that into production. We've got the financial wherewithal to be able to do that without taking on debt or going back to the market.
Well, Ryan, just as we wrap up, whenever two companies merge, there's the collision of two different cultures. And in this case, I think both cultures are on the same vibe. But would you walk us through what strengths you think you bring to the table? And you alluded to some of it there with the exploration focus Calibre will bring to Nevada. But what strengths do they bring to the table to your team? And what would the synergies between the two teams be that each one brings to the table in this transaction?
You're absolutely right. A lot of times cultures are different and can clash. But I mean, this one here, it's been a real focus on the delivery of their commitments. It's been a focus on operations, not diluting, using operating cash flow efficiently and effectively. And that's been similar to us in Nicaragua, right? Is that we were able to bring in some new human capital, bring in some financial resources and dedicate them to the Nicaraguan assets. And I believe that's exactly what they've done with Pan and Gold Rock. And so the cultures are very similar with the approach of being transparent and how we operate. And so when we look at what we could bring, again, it's sort of similar to what we did with the Nicaraguan assets. It's just another set of eyes looking at things differently. And I mean, Darren Hall, our chief executive officer of Calibre, this is what he did for Newmont for 30 years. He traveled around to producing gold mines around the world to see what could be done to optimize, whether it's, you know, a contractor rating, whether it's something on recoveries, social issue. Darren was quite successful in that. He worked in Nevada for many years for Newmont. He worked in Peru and Indonesia. So there's an aspect there that could help unlock value. But again, we recognize the really good work that the Fiore team has done. But where I see the opportunity is their history, their knowledge, and their geological team's knowledge of all the targets, all the opportunity, where they see opportunities to unlock further value now that we have the financial flexibility to be able to do that without having to go back to the market, without having to take on debt. So we're very complimentary of their team. They've done an incredible job. And with a little bit more cash, that additional operating cash flow to put back into the business, I think will be a welcome opportunity for both sides to unlock value. And we'll be looking for their key people as well to work with us on the Nicaraguan assets. Maybe there's something on the other side where they can bring with their expertise a different perspective or a different view to help unlock value.
All right, Ryan, thanks for taking some time to address this merger acquisition. It was, I think, one of the bigger news releases that came out of the resource sector this week, and I appreciate you really sharing how the combined company will be a mid-tier producer here and some of the synergies within the team, at least, that you are seeing. Ryan, again, thank you very much for your time. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to this weekend show. As always, please keep in touch with Shad and I through email. Our email addresses are fleck@kereport.com and shad@kereport.com. Be sure to visit our website and look back at all the daily editorials and company interviews we recorded throughout the week. Everybody, hope you have a great rest of your weekend.